that I put myself in. And sometimes we put ourselves in some pits. But all God is looking for.
Is he doing truth in church today?
And he's there to lift us up, just like he lifted Peter up out of that storm as he was sinking. And it said, Joseph was in that pit. And that was the beginning of the story. See, but when we get towards later on in the scripture, he is no longer in a pit, he's in the palace. See, but in the pit, he couldn't see the palace. And I'm here to tell you that in spite of where you're at right now, if you continue to trust God, there's a palace waiting for you. Woo! He's going to take you from where you're at right now to the place he wants you to be. That's already predestined.
Amen.
But it's just your part to be obedient.
Amen.
To love him more than anything.
That's right.
Anybody. To put him first. Family. There's a word that he has on the inside of me that I want to share.
Bring it!
And it's about the love of God. It's about a love that's undeserving for the people that he loves. Because we ain't love them back. You ever felt that you love somebody so much, but you wasn't getting that love back?
Jesus.
But you still love them anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the love God has for us. Let's pray, because I got a few things that we're going to get through. Father God, I thank you. We thank you for this opportunity to just be before you, Father God. I accept it. As you've given me this opportunity to bring forth the word, Father God, you use me, Father God. Let nothing, not one thing be of me, but everything be of you, Father God. Make my mouth clay, Father God. I am your vessel. Use me to speak to these people.
Yes, God.
For in myself, I am not worthy, Father God. But with you through the Holy Spirit, I can be guided and directed, Father God. And I thank you right now. I thank you for each and every one here.
Yes, Lord.
God, those who are watching via Facebook, via our website, via any means that you've given them an opportunity to hear this word, Father. I pray that their ears are open to receive, their hearts are open to grab hold, Father God, to be filled with your word. Your direction, your guidance, Father. I pray that even after we leave this place, that these words will not fall to the ground and get buried in their heart, Father God. They get activated. The things that you purposed in their life, Father. I thank you for my wife, my son, my family, Father God, my harvest family, for their continued support and guidance and direction, Father. In this walk that you've given me. Because it's not just about me. It's about the lives that are connected to each and every one of us, Father God. And we thank you right now. In advance, Father God. In Jesus' name, let the house say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Listen, Children's Church will be dismissed right now. So because we want the parents to hear this word, and believe you me, they're being fed as well. They're being fed on their level. But this is a different level. Amen?
Amen?
So, you know me. Last week, I didn't have a video.
You got one?
But this week, I got something.
You got a video this week?
Mm-hmm. That pertains to the word that we about to see.
Good God.
So, Brandon, when you're ready, can you cue that video up, please, for the people? Thank you.
Yes, sir.
tapestry of truth threaded through the entirety of history. The mystery of humanity wrapped intricately into the fabric of a five-letter word sentence, a five-minute composition.
Yeah. We just got it like that.
G-R-A-C-E. God's radical artistry created heaven. In the beginning, he spoke into the darkest abyss, and the power of his eloquence caused light to spark and life to exist out of nothing more than his magnanimous imagination.
Go, girl!
A creative binge, the likes of which has never been duplicated, culminated when he crafted a creature out of his
like
very Philly. Own identity, carved and copied his imagery, molded in effigy, a facsimile, clothed it in human anatomy, and gave us everything we could ever need. You wouldn't be wrong to call it paradise. But back then, it was just life. And though we were created to become just like him, we just wanted to become him in all of his knowledge and wisdom. So we embraced sin like a long-lost frenemy who showed up out of the blue bearing a gift in the form of a fruit. And as soon as we tasted it, we knew that we were through. Done in by the devil's indiscretion and deceit. Don't do it. No fruit is sweet enough to sell your birthright to it. To punt away the purpose you were put upon the earth, but they blew it. Ate the fruit anyway. A decision that deemed us all slaves, demanding on our lives, and the only thing that can reverse our demise is grace. G-R-A-C-E. God's redeeming atonement covers everyone. What's done is done. His only son, heckled and hammered to a tree where he hung from 9 till 3 with the finally evaded his ability to breathe. This is not religious intrigue. This is documented history. The Son of God willingly let his enemies pierce nails in his extremities and let blood flow through centuries right into the reality of his very time and space. This is the theory, this is the theology of grace. How Jesus volunteered himself as tribute and stood in our place, stared death in the face and faced it for our sake while we were still stuffing our face with spoiled fruit. We still do. But that's the beauty of grace. It sees all of our disqualifications and writes the letter of recommendation anyway. He who was full of truth is also full of grace. The price for our sin has been fully paid, and there were no discounts at the cross that day. Not a word from his mouth as his body was slain. What a bloody mess it took to cleanse our stain. As the hemoglobin streamed, the veil was torn at its seams, a dramatic curtain call to believe that you have been redeemed. And it's not like using a coupon to get something for free. He paid with his life and shredded the receipt. Why would he keep it? He wants you for good. No exchanges, no returns. He wants you for good. Works that he's preparing in advance that you should walk in, not to earn his love, but to walk in it. He threw down the gauntlet in the midst of the grave, rolled the stepping stone away, and emerged in flesh and bone and grace. G-R-A-C-E. God rose and clinched eternity. The bodily resurrection of a dead man. The pinnacle of God's plan to dig every one of us out of our graves. He is the way. He is the door, the gate, the lock. Come in and find pasture, a world away from our transgressions, as far from them as east is from west. For all of our questions, his answer
is yes.
You too were entombed, but in Christ, you too are exhumed and exonerated. That's just a fancy way of saying that you have found the Father's favor in the free and unadulterated gift of grace. G-R-A-C-E. God's radical artistry created everything out of grace. God's redeeming atonement covers everything in his grace. grace.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Family, you need to be excited about this year because we are covered by His grace.
Hallelujah.
By His grace. In spite of our ungodliness. See, we didn't eat the fruit, but we're still eating of the fruit. We are still dealing with the same sin that Adam and Eve dealt with in the beginning. But in spite of that, God has covered us with His grace. With the blood of Christ that went to the cross on our behalf. Because God has purpose for your life. In spite of what you may be going through, in spite of what you may be have been through, God has purpose for your life. Family, we're talking about people of the Bible right now who were living in sin, walking in sin, but they made a decision to no longer believe and trust in themselves, but to walk in the grace of God. And that same thing is available for you and I. See, here at Harvest, we don't just want to just preach word. We want to preach God's word. We want to preach God's truth. And that's why we make sure we stand on scripture, not just our opinions, not what we feel, not what we think. Because we want you to be able to go back and have new references. So you have something to stand on. Because you can't stand on my testimony. The only one you can stand on is the word of God, His testimony. So if we don't give you His word, you don't have nothing to stand on. See, the grace of my mother is not enough for me. The grace of my father is not enough for me. The only thing that I can really stand on is God's word. His grace. His testimony. See, because each and every one of us have a different walk. Last week I talked about justification and sanctification. And shared with you that this walk, we've been justified through Christ, through His blood. But the sanctification is the daily walk. The daily walk that we have to walk to be representative of who He is. That's what brings about our salvation. Family, if it was so easy, everybody would do it. But in a lot of ways, it is easy. It is easy. It's about trusting Him more than we trust ourselves. I say it all the time. If we could have figured it out, it wouldn't be a problem. But we don't have the answer. The answer is in His word. See, but what happens is the trials and the tribulations, the storms that come when we're in the storm, all we see is the storm.
That's right.
And God wants us to see Him in the storm. See, if He's the creator of everything, then He created the storms.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
So He has the power to stop the storms. We see it as evidence in Scripture. But in spite of that, when storms show up, we start barreling in. We start getting nervous, start getting scared. And that's what the enemy wants us to do. He wants us to have that fear. And take our eyes off of God and put our eyes on the storm. You know, this last couple of weeks, I've just been sharing with people and hearing people saying that I haven't been around or I've been going through this here and I don't feel like I'm worthy to be in the presence of God.
What?
And that's what the enemy wants us to feel. He wants us to believe, oh, you ain't doing this right, you ain't doing that right, so you shouldn't be following you. You shouldn't be in his presence. You ain't worthy enough. He went to the cross for the ungodly. Ain't none of us worthy. Not even us that stand here in the pulpit. We all have fallen short. I get angry. I get frustrated. My eyes see some things that I shouldn't see. Those things are still sin. It don't make us no better than anybody else. See, you got to understand the word, his truth. And too often we get caught up in what the world is saying. See, the world will judge you. God is not judging you. He went to the cross for each and every one of us already. His blood has been shed on our behalf. So you won't have to shed no blood no more. There's no sacrifices that have to be made. The sacrifice has already been made, the ultimate sacrifice. Who would he say they believe that Jesus went to the cross and died on our behalf and rose on the third day? So if you believe that and you know that as a fact, you got grace to stand on. And it's not a greasy grace. It's not a slip and slide to go in and come back out, to have fun, to do what you want to do. Because I tell you, you go in and come back out, that slide is even further. And it gets harder and harder to hear the word of God. So you got to be careful. You got to be careful. Once you know better, you do better. There's no more excuse once you know better. It's about a choice. You know, these last couple of weeks, Pastor Bruce, Sister Melissa, Pastor Bruce talked about, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. God, Jesus is petitioning on our behalf daily. He's asking God to forgive you for your shortcoming. Forgive you for what you said. Forgive you for what you did. Forgive you for how you feel.
Let's just put the sermon title.
Family, God wants all of us to be saved. But unfortunately, the sad truth is not everybody wants it. See, we love the things of this world. We love people. We love money. We love these things more than we love God.
You're right.
And the reality is, he's the creator of all these things. And here we chasing after these things instead of chasing after him.
That's right. That's right.
He's a provider. Family, Melissa talked about being followers of Christ. Not really, but she said disciples. Disciples of Christ. And when you're a disciple, you are emulating what your teacher taught you. And that's what Christ wants us to be. He wants us to be disciples. He wants us to be emulators of who he is here on the earth. Because that's what he was. There's no sin, there's no experience that we went through that he hasn't gone through already. And through his word, it will strengthen us as we go through it ourselves. See, no test, no testimony. Family, I'm telling you, I get excited when trials and tribulations show up in my life. Because I'm like, Lord, what you want me to learn from this? And I'm going to tell you, can I be honest? It wasn't always that way. I was wrestling, arguing, frustrated with God myself. Because I told you I was in a pit that I put myself in. See, but God gave me a vision of where I see myself outside of the pit. However, it took some time for me to get out the pit.
And while I was in the pit, I was murmuring and complaining. I'm like, Lord, you gave me this vision. How could it come to pass if I'm in the pit? He said, you ain't ready to come out yet. See, family, God is preparing you for something. See, all those trials and tribulations Joseph had to go through, it was preparing him for the palace position. God is preparing you for that next position that he has in place for you. So grab hold of those trials and tribulations that you're going through and say, Lord, what you want me to get through this? Because he has a plan and a purpose for your life. Family, the title of my message is God justifies the ungodly through grace. God justifies the ungodly through grace. Not one. Let's go to the scriptures. Open up your Bibles to Romans chapter 3, verse 22. And we're going to read from 22 to 24. When you got it, say amen. And I'm coming out of the Amplified. Amen. All right. And it says, this righteousness of God comes through faith in Jesus Christ. For all those Jews and Gentiles who believe and trust in him and acknowledge him as God's Son. There is no distinction since all have sinned and continually fall short of the glory of God. Let's read that part again. It says, there is no distinction since all have sinned and continually fall short of the glory of God.
I'm trying to change that.
Then it says, and are being justified. Here it is. Justified.
I'm have to call
declared free of the guilt of sin. Made acceptable to God and granted eternal life. As a gift.
I can't put it in edit, can I?
Ain't nothing you paid for.
And stay on air.
As a gift. Precious, undeserved grace through the redemption, the payment for our sins. Who sins? Our sins. Which is provided in who? Christ Jesus. Ain't in Buddha, ain't in Muhammad, ain't in your boo-boo, ain't in your baby, ain't in your money, ain't in your job. In Christ Jesus. Family, and you've heard me say this if you've been part of all this. The greatest gift my wife gave me when she told me, she said, I love you, but I love God. She said, because God will never let me down, but man will. And at that time, I was ignorant. Yes, I was. I wanted her to love me more. I wanted her to love me more. And I failed. Like we all fail. See, but through that testimony, through those words, made me a better man, made me a better husband, a better father, a better person. No test, no testimony. See, but only through the grace of God, because she told me, she was like, look, the only reason why I'll give you a chance is because I asked God. See, when you ask God for something, be prepared to receive it.
Amen. Amen.
But set a standard based off of God's truth. Because she said, if you ain't following God, I can't follow you because you're supposed to be ahead. See, too often we sacrifice because it's what we desire. But
But if it's not standing on God's truth, it's going to fail anyway. And too often we give things a chance, even though they show us who they really are. Family, we got to know who we are and who he is to us and set a standard. We got to set a standard because those very things can keep us from going to where God has us going. See, we ask, we got some haters in here. And some people don't even realize they're haters. They don't. That's just their ignorance. They just so comfortable in where they at, and because you're trying to move out of that position, they hating on you. See, but they comfortable in their discomfort, and they want you to be with them. And when you try to make moves, they say, oh, you're trying to be different, you're going to church now, and now you don't want to hang out, you don't want to do this, you don't want to do that, you know? And you got to be strong in your conviction of who God called you to be.
You do.
Family,
got to give it up.
I asked y'all that question. Do you believe Jesus Christ went to the cross for you and I? A living sacrifice for our sin. And I tell you, anyone who questions that he died,
I see somebody I duck in the car.
His evidence is proven. Because if it could be disproven, we wouldn't be able to talk about it because the enemy would have been throwing it out there.
Mari, is that you?
Yes. But the evidence backed it up as fact. And that's the thing Like I said, Buddha, Muhammad, Boo-Boo, all that, job, all those things. God is telling us, don't put them before me. Make me number one.
Because I had a fascination with it.
Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22.
In New Halo.
See, God has given us everything that we need to succeed. It's on the inside. It's on the inside. All the things that I'm doing now, it was already in me. But it took some nurturing, it took some maturing to bring it out. And see, that's where the body of Christ had to be patient with the children of Christ. You know, because we be like, oh, they've been going to church for 5 years and they ain't learned yet. They still going through this and that. And we forget our growth to maturity.
It took us longer than that.
And we still growing. See, if you think you got it all figured out and you walking in God's truth and nothing can touch you, get ready to stumble. Get ready to stumble.
Because you know, we holy from the waist up.
Because don't we serve an infinite God?
There's no end to
his knowledge, his wisdom, right? So, we'll never get that. We're finite. So it just takes maturity to grow and learn, but we'll never have it all. Never, ever. And see, that's what happened with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They put themselves on a pedestal and began looking down on everybody else and forgot about the sins in their own self. Hebrews 9:22, it says, in fact, under the law, almost everything is cleansed with blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness, neither release from sin and its guilt. No cancellation of the merited punishment. None. Muhammad didn't shed no blood. Buddha ain't shed no blood. He ain't come back from the grave.
There we
go. The money you lost, you ain't get back. The boyfriend, the girlfriend you lost,
I don't like
ain't
it.
Get
I don't
back.
Like it.
Those things that we make idols in our lives. God is telling us we got to let those things go and put him first. This is where your redemption comes from. This is how change begins to happen in your life. Listen, we have to leave behind the previous life to follow a new beginning. We got to die to ourselves. Paul said, I die to myself daily. Daily, every day, he got to fight his old self. Here in the Leadership Bible, it says, the Lord empowerment, God changes us from the inside out. It says, God's leadership is transformational. Paul carefully compares the contrast of Adam's work with Christ and shows the fundamental changes God makes in us. He radically and permanently changes his people from the inside out. It says, God never demands conduct that he doesn't first empower his followers to achieve. Romans provides a virtual survey of the New Testament theology and of God's empowering leadership. And it says, one, he liberates. He frees us from the chains, stains, and pains of the past.
Yeah.
See, God want to free you of those pains, those chains, those things that kept you down.
Amen.
See, Master preached about this, the same thing. Drop the baggage. A while ago, drop the baggage. We carrying some things that we need to let go. Let go and let God. Those things are keeping us bound. They're keeping us stuck. And those same people who might have did it to us, they have moved on with their life. And we still holding on to some stuff. And some of it come from our parents. Some of it come from relationships. See, but why do you think Jesus said, Father, forgive them? Because, see, people
they don't know what they're doing.
What they know. See, there's some mistakes that we made, and we want forgiveness for, because that's not who we are.
Amen.
That wasn't really our intention. Definitely for the people who we say we love.
Amen.
But in us, our finite minds, we're going to make mistakes. We're going to make mistakes, we're going to fail, we're going to fall short, and we want the people who we love to forgive us so we can move past that and continue to grow and be who God called us to be. So this, the word frees us from that pain and those chains and those stains of the past. And then it says, he elevates. He embraces us and lifts us up to reign with him. To reign with him, he put us in a new. I say it all the time. I say, when the enemy want to make, he use those things to be roadblocks, God want to make him stepping stones. So we can raise higher to the position that he's calling us to and closer to him. See, we got it. It's perspective, it's how we see the things that's happening in our lives. That's what changes it. Number three, he educates. He gives us wise counsel and future direction. Wise counsel and future direction. And number four,
just go back to the summary title.
He fills areas where we are weak and lack confidence. See,
there you go.
But God can't fill an area that you don't get to.
I'm gonna get it.
Don't get it.
He can't fill an area that you don't get to. See, We try to carry it ourselves. I don't need no help. I got this, you know, and all these things, our pride, ego, just different things getting away. And instead of giving it to God,
yes,
we try to figure out ourselves.
You right.
And like I said, it wouldn't be a problem if you could fix it.
Say that again.
So the reason why it's that way is because we haven't given it up. We're holding on to some stuff.
Jesus.
And God is saying, let it go. Give it to me. I got you. I will make your burdens light. He motivates. He is our source of vision, hope, and purpose. I'm going to say that again. He is our source of vision, hope, and purpose. Family, you need to be excited. You need to be excited. I'm telling you, I'm so excited for God and what He's doing in my life because it's not just about me.
Right.
It's about the lives that's connected to me, that's connected to you. There's some people who may never walk in the church, but they see you. And you can change their life because they knew you back when. They knew you when you were in the world. They knew you when you was hanging out. They knew you when you was doing what you was doing. And now they see you and they like, they wanted it all they like, and they couldn't figure it out. They see you got it figured out. Now they want to, what did you do? And that's how we can be the change maker. That's how we become the ambassadors of Christ. That's how we become the ambassadors of Christ. And if you think about an ambassador is a representation of one country in another country. And see, the world tells us we in this world, but we not of this world. And too often, we want to take on a form of this world when we supposed to be ambassadors of the word of God. And see, the more you get to know who you are, the better an ambassador you can be. The more you can stand firm on who God said you are. Family. It says here, He regenerates.
Yeah, He does.
You know those times when you feel weak and you're like, oh my God, I gotta go. He gives you that strength. He energizes you. It says He transforms us to live on a higher level by His supernatural resources. Supernatural. Man, listen, I'm telling you, I never thought I'd be doing what I'm doing right now.
Amen.
Never. Even in the vision that I broke down when I was away, I didn't have this part in the vision. Everything that I'm, so many of it that I'm doing is beyond what I could have imagine.
Amen.
And that's that transforming power of the Holy Spirit inside of you. See, everything is already on the inside. It just has to be nurtured. Number 7. He commissions us to obey and move forward in His cause. See, last week I showed y'all a picture. Can you show that picture again? See, there's a difference between believing and obeying. See, but the believing is easy. The believing is easy. Ain't no work in believing. The work comes to obey. See, that's the part that we struggle in. That's the part that we struggle in. We know it through our own kids. We know it through ourselves as we were kids. You know, I shared last week when that punishment came up because of the consequences, we sat in the window watching everybody out there play, even our brothers and sisters who didn't want to stay in with us and said, I didn't do it, you did that. You got something. You know, we watched them play and have fun because we didn't obey. And this is the part where we struggle at. so much in the body of Christ. You know, we struggle with that obey part. And I spoke about it last week. Adam and Eve had everything. Everything. And he said, just don't touch that one tree. Just one. One. But we always want what we can't have.
Ain't that something?
We always want what we can't have. Always. And the enemy used that desire to cause us to be disobedient.
Yeah, he does.
Always. That's just how he works. That's how he works.
What do you mean?
Turn with me
right.
to Romans chapter 4, verse 5. See, if you don't know who you are or whose you are, we'll become 21st century followers. But I want to remind you that we are justified through Christ. And we are no longer bound. You are no longer bound of the sins of Adam and Eve. No longer. Christ went to the cross for us. Everybody got to say amen.
Amen.
Amen. And it says here, I'm going to read from verse 5 to 8. And it says, but to the one who does not work, that is the one who does not try to earn his salvation by doing good, but believes and completely trusts in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited to him as righteousness, right standing with God. And in this same way, David speaks of the blessing on the one in whom God credits righteousness apart from works. It says, blessed and happy and favored are those whose lawless acts have been forgiven and whose sins have been covered up and completely buried. Not to be dug up. See, we dig up some sins ourselves that God has already buried.
We need to buy it.
We give the enemy too much power.
That's confusing.
We give him too much power. He don't have no power. It's already buried. It's dead to God. But we resurrected in our own heads. This is a battlefield right here. That's why Paul said I have to die to myself daily. Buried. Completely buried. It don't just say buried. It says completely buried. It says blessed and happy and favored is a man whose sins the Lord will not take into account nor charge against him. See, family, we in this world, but we're not of this world. See, according to the world, when we make a mistake, you won't get punished. That's it. It's a done deal. But God has given us faith. See, so when I was sitting in that cell, facing 25 years, according to the world, I was done. I was done. There was no redemption. See, but then I didn't know God. I didn't know about Paul. I didn't know about David. I didn't know about all the other disciples, all the other obedient followers of God who had sinned and fell short. I didn't know I was of a different world, not of this world, not accountable to this world's laws. but to the laws of the gospel. Glory. See, God is not looking for you to play church, acting godly and living simple. He ain't looking for that. See, listen, family, ain't nothing we can hide from God. He knows everything about us. He knows everything. Ain't no closet you can go to. See, we can do that in the world, but you can't do that with God. He sees it all. And see, I'll tell y'all something. It's not a surprise to him. He knows you. He knows everything about you. See, but what he wants you to do is give those things up. Let the sin go.
Willingly.
Give it to him so it can't be resurrected. Let it get buried. But too often, instead of us giving it up, we hold on to it. And it keeps us bound. So it can be resurrected in our heads. Because we haven't given it up. We haven't been honest with ourselves. You know, I share with you, people tell me that I ain't coming to church because I feel this way. That's a feeling. And that's what the enemy wants to keep you bound by that.
That's right. That's right.
Because
that's
if you stay away from God's word, thinking you're not worthy enough, how can you grow?
Say it again.
How can you mature? Because you're staying bound by something he already know. He just said, let go and let God.
That's it. That's it.
Family, there's nothing hidden from God. As we see throughout scriptures, this is why Jesus had to be the last true sacrifice. Because in ourselves, we will always fall short. But through Christ, we have peace with God in the joy of reconciliation with him. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
See, we got an open door. The veil is cut. See, before Christ, the priest could only go in once a year to stand before God. Once a year. So just imagine the weight of sin. I'm surprised they had any animals left. You think about the sins that we have in our own life. Just one. How many animals you have to sacrifice?
Jesus.
See,
all the animals would be dead.
He died for us. He cut the veil. That we have an open invitation through the Holy Spirit to walk with God, to talk with God, to give him the things that continues to burden us. That you ain't got to carry it no more. He ain't looking for you to be perfect. He's looking for you to be better.
Amen.
I want to be better. God is calling us to be better, not bitter. Come on, family. We got to let go and let God, let him move and take hold of our life. Family, I stand before you today as a mere vessel to be used. Because in myself, I fell there. Let's open up
you, sir?
To Romans chapter 5, verse 8. See, this is why Paul said, I forgot myself there. And in this walk that we're walking, we got an adversary. We have an adversary. But I'm here to tell you, it's a fixed fight. Family, it's a fixed fight.
There it is.
You already won.
We won.
You already won. But because we still got to play the game, the enemy tried to dupe us and make you think you're in checkmate. But you're not. You got another move. And another move. And another move. Because the reality is he's in checkmate. We already won. Paul says here, he says, he said, but God clearly shows and proves his own love for us by the mere fact that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Not when we got everything right. Not when we were going to church every day, doing the right thing, all those things that we used to do, we ain't doing no more. He said, while we were still sinners. Christ died for us. Therefore, since we have now been justified, declared free of the guilt of sin by his blood, how much more certain is it that we will be saved from the wrath of God through him? See, because we're going through stuff here on the earth, we can be questioning. And that's what the enemy wants us to do, question God. Why am I going through this? Why I got to go? He's preparing you for something. That's that part. Joseph didn't know how he was going to get from the pit to the palace. But he never lost faith. He held on to what God showed him. And family, I'm here to tell you, hold on to the word of God. Know that you are saved through Christ. You are strengthened through Christ. Not through yourself, not through nobody else, but through Christ. And God has a plan and a purpose for your life that you might not see it now. You might can't see it through the storm. But believe you me, he got a purpose for your life. And it's up to you to walk in it and to walk through it. Walk through it. Walk through the storm. There's going to be some peaks and some valleys. But so long as you trusted in God, even in those valley places, there's going to be some growth. There's going to be some testimony that you're going to be able to tell when you're at that. See, in the world, you get to that peak and you go down, ain't no coming back up. But with God, even in the valley, there's growth. But you got to recognize that it's based off your perception. See, the wilderness was the valley for the children of Israel when they was coming out of Egypt. See, but their expectations was for more. And because that valley place wasn't as good as being in captivity, they was ready to go back to be captive instead of moving forward into where God was trying to take them. And this is what happens to us. We get comfortable in our discomfort. We get comfortable in our discomfort and we don't want to move forward. We want to stay where we're at or move to the back. Family, God is trying to do a new thing. In you, in I, all of us. Family. So today I want you to know that you are not fighting alone. The picture I showed you earlier shows a whole lot of people who say they believe. But it's a lot harder to obey. And I'm here to tell you that the price has been paid. However, we still have to go through the process to become who God purposed us to be. The question, we question ourselves, if I'm no longer a slave to sin, why do I still struggle with sin?
Mm-hmm.
And Paul said this in Romans 6:7-6. He says, we do not know that our old self, our human nature without the Holy Spirit was held to the cross with him, in order that our bodies of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For the person who has died with Christ has been freed from the power of sin. See, we gotta go through it, but we're freed from the power of it. And that's why we gotta let it go and give it to God. We try to hide those sins, try to keep it in the closet. See, we gotta be like the taxpayer, the adulterous woman. Give it up, let go, and give it to God. See, because there's nobody who can condemn you anymore. Christ already died. All he's saying is, sin no more. That's it. He's saying, sin no more. And too often we want to hide it and try to keep it in the closet. But the enemy knows. He knows our weaknesses. He knows those areas that we struggle in. He knows those areas that we haven't given up to God. So he can resurrect them in our minds. And that's why it's so important for us to let it go and let God. He knows those areas that we're struggling in. He knows those battles that we're having within ourselves. And he got us. Jesus said, I'm sending you another comfort. And see, what happens is we're not trusting the Holy Spirit like we should. We're not taking heed to those warnings that he gives us through the Holy Spirit to try to keep us from the sin, keep us from walking in those areas that we know that are not good. See, God never allows anything to happen to you without giving you a warning. Never, ever, ever, ever. I was in that cell making all excuses and crying out. I had this and that, all these things. And all he told me was, you still had a choice. It's about our choices. And what happens is, when it don't line up with what we want to do, how we feel, and what we think, we make the choice that makes us feel better. In the moment. And then we got to deal with the consequences. See, the enemy don't show you the consequences. He just lets you know, remind you of how it feels. Family, freedom is not a feeling. It is a believing. We are waiting to feel free instead of believing we are free. Walking and living in that freedom. And I'm going to end in Romans chapter 5, verse 2 through 5. Say amen.
Amen.
And it says here, through him we have access by faith into this remarkable state of grace, in which we, firmly and safely and securely. I'm going to say that again. Firmly and safely and securely stand. Let us rejoice in our hope and the confident assurance of experiencing and enjoying the glory of our great God, the manifestation of his excellence and power. And not only this, but with joy, let us exalt in our suffering. I'm going to say that again. Because see, when we get in that tough place, when things get rough, God is telling us, exalt in that. Give thanks. See?
Mm-hmm. All things.
There were some times where I was murmuring, complaining about what I was going through. And God just reminded me, he said, look around. He said, you think your situation is rough? There's some people right around you who are going through worse situations than you. So you need to be thankful and prayerful that you're not going through what they're going through. See, too often, we always looking at what somebody else is doing. See, that's what this world is doing to us. We're looking at everybody so-called having fun and enjoying life. And you're like, why am I going through this? I'm following God. We don't know the cross that they carry. We don't know what they're giving up to get what they got, that momentary satisfaction, gratification. See, what God is trying to give us is something that's everlasting. Something that we would have regardless of what we may be going through. There's a peace that will be on the inside of us. Family. God is trying to do a new thing in you. But it's up to you to recognize it, to grab hold of it, and see it for what it is. It says, exalt in our suffering and rejoice in our hardship.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that hardship, distress, pressure, trouble produces patient endurance. See, there's some things that you can go through that other people can't.
That's right.
There's some pressures that you've been under that God would have taken you under, but you made it through.
Amen.
That others, if they had to go through it, wouldn't make it. Those people that you're watching on Facebook who enjoyed, if they had to go through what you went through, my God. It says patient endurance. And endurance proven character, spiritual maturity, and proven character, hope, and confidence assurance of eternal salvation.
What?
Such hope in God's promises never disappoints us. He said, never disappoints us. And see, this is the part with your belief and your obedience that God's word is true. It's what will carry you. He said, never disappoints us because God's love has been abundantly poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Family, you need to be shouting and praising God and giving thanks and get excited about what's next. I asked you earlier who believed Christ died for us. And I want you to stand and take this pledge with me. Everybody stand. Please stand.
Everybody.
See, because God needs us to stand firm on what we say He is in our life.
Amen.
This is where change happens at. Repeat after me. Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
I know I am a sinner.
I know.
I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for me.
Died on the cross for me.
And my sins and rose again.
And my sins and rose again.
I ask you to forgive me.
Forgive me.
For my sins.
For my sins.
And come into my heart.
And come into my heart.
I accept Jesus as my Lord.
Jesus is my Lord.
And Savior.
And Savior.
From this day forward.
From this day forward.
I want to follow you.
I want to follow you.
And live for you.
And live for you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For saving me.
For saving me.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Family, I want to take this opportunity to pray. If anybody wants prayer, because see, we in a battle. We in a fight for our soul's salvation.